For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Gigantic news for the Cleveland Browns. Today was a deadline. Will Amari Cooper show up for Browns training camp after holding out during mandatory minicamps? Well, multiple reports now saying, including Adam Schefter, that the Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper is getting a $5 million raise. Well, the team is also guaranteeing him $20 million currently left on his contract, and he is still entering the final year of his deal. Half of the $20 million guaranteed will be in the form of a signing bonus. So the long-awaited nightmare, the questions are answered there, Dustin Fox. Amari Cooper will be a Cleveland Brown this year.
I think this is great news. I don't know that this means he's going to be here long-term, but to me what it means is that, Nick, he is going to be in camp. He's here for this year. It's a vital year for Deshaun Watson, and I'm super, super, super pumped about this.
The Browns were not able to say they had done everything this year to make Deshaun work and to give Deshaun every conceivable advantage to be the best version of himself since 2020. If they didn't get this done, right?
Correct.
If this thing, and listen, if it had been done tomorrow, I don't see much of a difference, but if this team had left for the Greenbrier without Amari showing up and being ready to play, I don't want to say the word disastrous. It would have been very problematic. And so I think when you get to it, and again, my whole assessment of the whole thing has been with Amari, I think this year you need him. I don't know about long term. And so the number one thing I needed for the Cleveland Browns is, if you're going to do anything, just give the guy more money now, right? And then you can make a decision in February. Hey, how does he look in the new offense? Hey, how are he and Deshaun? Does he look like he's lost a step at all? I would be surprised if Amari gets another contract in Cleveland. Just with the way this is set up, I think if the Browns felt comfortable with their financial picture keeping him long-term, I think this wouldn't have just been effectively a one-year deal and more guaranteed money now. But this is a very good thing for the Cleveland Browns. And this is a very good thing for Amari Cooper, because now Amari goes into a contract year with some guarantees this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he still is going to have a huge bite of the apple next year, even if it doesn't come from the Cleveland Browns. And from the Browns side, all right, now everything's lined up. Get to the Greenbrier, start doing that work, and let's see if you can make this work with Deshaun this year.
Well, and that's what's so exciting about it, Nick, is that we know for a fact he's now going to be here, and it allows him and Deshaun, more so I think Deshaun, to get on the same page, you know, not having to come to camp late. You've got a new offense, new terminology, all the things that you have to take time to install and all these things. And so there'll be no setbacks with the offense, and that's the most important thing about this. And Amari should be happy about this. And yeah. He wouldn't have signed it otherwise.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's enough money. Again, $25, $26 million was, I think, where Amari felt he wanted to be on a contract anyways after all the contract extensions for wide receivers this year. The new normal for wide receivers, the new bar, is somewhere between $25 and $30 million. So you get him to $25 million. You pay him, and listen, you can say, well, you're paying him for his past production. We'll see what he does at 30. It's not a guarantee. The cliff for wide receivers is probably closer to like 32, like closer to 33. But this at least just, all right, this is a detente. This is a pact that gets you past whatever uncomfortableness there was, and everybody's happy enough that you can go ahead and just put everything. Because I'll be honest with you, if like the Packers with Jordan Love, and there's an expectation a contract will get done, but that's not a guarantee. Jordan Love saying he's not showing up until he gets a contract in Green Bay. That's a nightmare scenario. This is what the offseason's for. The offseason is to air your grievances on your contract or set yourself up for that next contract, whatever. And by the time camp comes around, it's just no longer feasible. And the only team that I can think of that has gone here recently into a contractual situation and their season's kind of gone flawlessly was Kansas City with Chris Jones 2 years ago. That is the absolute anomaly. So it's a win for both parties, just avoiding this thing getting messy. Because here's the thing. If Amari didn't show up today, there's two ways Browns fans are going to handle this. They're going to be pissed at the Browns or they're going to be pissed at Amari. Neither of those things are good for either party involved, because once fans have kind of a sore spot for somebody, whether it's the team or otherwise, or certainly a player, it's really tough to kind of come back from that. So I think this avoids potential hard feelings for the now, right now, which is crucial again.
And not only the negative feelings towards the player, but there will be no conversations of, hey, they're not on the same page because, oh, yeah, that's right, because he held out. You know?
Yeah.
Man, Amari just looks a step slow out there, guys. I don't know, man. You think it's because he held out? So all those distractions and those questions that would be asked, not just to Amari, but like to his teammates, you took away a huge distraction. The Browns are very smart for doing this.
Yeah, I don't, and I was just about to say this, and I kind of ADD'd out. I don't ever want the biggest question I have going into camp, what's that contract going to do? What are we doing with that contract? I can't answer the Deshaun question about the Cleveland Browns until you start seeing him in games. I can start to feel more comfortable if he's out there winging dimes out there on the regular in camp. If we're seeing in whether he plays in the preseason or not, if we're seeing him be healthy, get a bunch of reps, I can start to feel a little more comfortable. But until the games start, we're all waiting to see mode on Deshaun again. Even when it comes to like little stuff, like the biggest non-Amari or Deshaun question probably is going to start on that offensive line. What do you do with those tackles? All right, guys, that's not a question I can answer until training camp gets underway and you really have enough time to see where everybody is. The Amari thing, that's an easy, are you going to get him in camp or not? Are you going to give him the financial incentive or not? And Amari, are you going to show up? So now we can actually have like the questions the conversations you're supposed to have, because at least for right now, those conversations are put to bed with Amari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know that any of us really expected this to happen today. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Yeah,
I thought maybe he'd sign a long-term deal. But that didn't seem like something the Browns were interested in now. Mm-hmm. So this is sort of a temporary solution. And, you know, the thing I would say is maybe they can work on something throughout the season. And maybe it depends on production. Maybe it depends on the chemistry between Deshaun and Amari Cooper as they progress here in the first maybe month or two of the season.
Is it crazy to think that Amari's future probably has more to do with Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman, David Bell, Michael Woods II, and all the kid you got from Louisville, Thrash? Is it crazy to think that that's more in control of his future than almost anything Amari does?
I don't know that that's 100% the case.
Because I expect Amari to be Amari, right? Like I think it's going to be interesting to see whether the offense is more of a we're going to spread the ball around offense, which you kind of saw with Joe Flacco, but mm-hmm. Now that Deshaun's going to be a little bit more control, I think Deshaun in Houston liked to spread the ball around instead of just, well, when he had DeAndre Hopkins, he did throw a butt ton of passes to DeAndre, but like without a DeAndre, it was like, hey, Kiki Kuti, you get some of this, and this guy gets this, and the tight end gets this amount. I think if Jerry Jeudy looks every bit as good as Amari Cooper, I would imagine that that's actually not a good thing for Amari Cooper coming back next year. But if Jerry Jeudy looks like Jerry Jeudy the last 4 years.
That part I would agree with. I think if those guys, especially Jeudy, mm-hmm. looks like he can step into that role and be a go-to guy for this offense, yeah, that would certainly make Amari more expendable. But at this point, I don't know that you can even have that conversation or go down that road. I think Jeudy would have to be exceptional.
I think Jeudy starts a conversation, but I think you would need reasonable proof that Cedric Tillman can replace Amari. And if not, I mean, because Cedric is probably, I don't want to say the closest player to Amari. They weren't drafted in the same area. Amari was a top 10 pick. Cedric was a third round pick. Like, But like when you talk about the profile of the wide receiver, I think Cedric probably fits the profile that is Amari, if not a little bit bigger, as good as anybody on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I think I agree with you. I think Jerry being a 1,200-yard receiver, let's just throw that number out there, giving you an Amari Cooper season makes it easier to not pay him. But you still need, whether it's Elijah, Cedric Tillman, you still need production from your other receivers before you can even think about not or Amari just has to crater this year, which he's so consistent and he's so consistently good. Cratering, I could see his numbers and his targets taking a step back, which would naturally impact his numbers, but I can't see him cratering. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and thankfully Amari seems like a really good dude, because there are other guys in this situation that probably wouldn't even help the younger guys come along. Like, mm-hmm. Amari's got to be a leader in that room. And all those guys you mentioned are super, super young and inexperienced in this league. And having a guy like Amari around's huge. And you just said, like, those guys are here to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be able to, and I'm not saying he's going to go like out of his way to help all the young guys, but you know that guy will answer any questions those young guys have. And his future's on the line.
And I think that's kind of why the Browns were comfortable with trading for Jeudy, is that Florida background. Jerry Jeudy grew up kind of idolizing Amari. They're both Bama wide receivers. You know, one of the first things we heard after Jerry Jeudy got traded here was there were some good vibes between the two of them, that they had already kind of linked up. I think this at least gives the Browns, by not putting more money in the future on the line, it allows you to make a definitive decision on Amari. But I'll be honest with you again. I think Amari has 1,200 yards this year. Someone's going to pay him. But so theoretically, you'll still be interested in paying him if he has the 1,200-yard season. But at the same point, if Jerry Jeudy's also got 1,200 yards and maybe Elijah becomes an 800-yard receiver and Cedric Tillman steps up, and Njoku, here's the other thing. If you're still getting elite production out of your tight end, I think because what that means is if everybody's producing at a better level, that means that Deshaun is back. Because that's probably the thing we haven't talked enough about. Amari, you need Amari for this year as almost a security blanket for Deshaun's health.
Yep.
And if Deshaun can stay healthy, there's another reason why, well, we expect really good quarterbacks to elevate the players around them, and maybe that puts you a little less reliant on Amari himself. Amari Cooper signing a contract restructuring of his one-year deal. The Browns are guaranteeing $20 million that he was already owed this year, half of it in a signing bonus, and they're adding an additional $5 million guaranteed on this contract, making this a one-year $25 million deal. And in terms of what this means, I'm just curious where you guys think of this contract restructuring. And I'll be honest with you, I do think it's crisis averted. Like, I think being able to get him under contract and into camp is a huge win for both parties. It makes both parties also look really good that they had some sort of desperation factor to not let this go. But does this add to, we're going to do a vibe check at some point. Does this add to your excitement about where the Browns are? Amari's new contract restructuring. It is a ripping up of the old contract. It is a restructure. It is not a contract extension. So it seems as if the Browns and Amari's team kind of split the difference here. But training camp kicks off in West Virginia Thursday. And it's always game day in Cleveland, crew of Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin. We'll have you covered. Subscribe to their podcast at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. I'm sure our buddy Daryl's going to join us, and Andy will have comprehensive coverage on the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast of the Amari Cooper contract restructure. No, I think we continue to go back to this is a really good thing for the Browns. It's a good thing for Amari. And I think if this is it for Amari, it can offer for a clean break. And if it's not, you know, there, I think I will imagine when Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski talk about this, that the conversation becomes the door still open for the future. We just wanted to make sure we got Amari you know, in. I don't know how much I'll believe of that, but I think that'll be the message from the Browns. We just, it was more important to get him in than maybe settled a long-term conversation.
I think that is well said, and that's, to me, very apparent by this decision. And, you know, we'll see how Amari plays this year. I do believe that if they get off to a good start, fast start, that Amari will get an extension midseason.
It's interesting about that. I don't know. I don't know that in maybe this actually helps, right? Maybe this year was the bigger hang up and you know, Amari was just looking for a little security this year, and mm-hmm. then, because I do think, like, I think there might be some Browns fans who say, why not a long-term deal? If you look at the Browns cap situation, you literally can pay everybody in the NFL. If you want to, you can pay everyone. You shouldn't. And the Browns are coming up on an offseason where Amari, parts of that, considerable parts of that defense, there's going to come another contract extension for Myles Garrett. You probably have to start talking turkey with Wyatt Teller. Decisions on Conklin, Jed Wills. There's a lot up in the air. And so if the Browns do intend to extend Amari, this might be just a natural, let's get this in place so we can pause this, so we can know probably better off 6 months down the road after we've seen him in the offense and after we've seen the other 50-some guys in the roster, we can determine, you know, how far we're willing to go, how much money we actually do have to spend, how much more of kicking the can down the road are we doing on some of these other contracts, including Deshaun himself.
Well, you know, if Deshaun and Amari have this great chemistry, how do you not give him the extension, you know, midseason?
I don't know. Because I just think, like, I think we saw Kansas City go through this with Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
where, like, they decided they were no longer interested in paying Tyreek Hill $25 million a year. Tyreek wanted 25 to 30, and I think they kind of just met their line in the sand. And I also think, by the way, I think there were some personality things with Tyreek that I think wore themselves out. Buffalo with Stephon Diggs. Now, again, there's a scenario where Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, no matter what they said, you watch them interact on the sideline, you could not convince yourself that there was actually that there was a good vibe between the two of them. So I think that's part of it. So my point is, I do think teams are starting to get a little bit more stingy on when they pay that great wide receiver long-term money, especially when you start factoring in that kind of... So I see what you're saying, but I just think the Browns and Amari are in a really, really interesting situation. And right now we're going to go ahead and welcome on our Browns beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan. Again, this man has you covered on every single angle as this team gets ready to head to West Virginia coming up on Thursday. Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Doing very well. Happy start of Browns training camp to you, sir.
No drama. It's been taken care of.
Look at that. What was your initial reaction? Actually, I guess we should start. Did you expect this deal to get done by today?
I expected something to be done. If Cooper was going to have to hold out, I didn't expect it to be very long. I talked about it yesterday on the morning show. Andrew Berry has a lot of equity in dealing with these sticky situations with players and whatnot. And, you know, we've seen him handle these type of things with relative ease. So I wasn't overly concerned, even if Cooper didn't report on time and had to sit out a few days. I was confident that something was going to get done. And then, you know, obviously a little bit of a win-win. Browns don't commit further years, which is clearly what Andrew Berry wanted to do in this particular case. And Amari Cooper gets $20 million in guaranteed money with a chance to earn an additional $5 million this year.
So how much do you think Deshaun Watson factored into this decision? I mean, do you think that he was asked at all? Like, hey, man, know, how much do you need this guy? Or I mean, I just wonder, because to me, this seems like the all-in year for Deshaun Watson.
No, I don't think there was any reason to really consult with Deshaun, mm-hmm. Dustin. I mean, look, they did work together during the offseason. Of course, Cooper was not at the veteran minicamp, but Watson talked about getting together with Cooper throughout the offseason and still getting some work in with him. You know, look, he's coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's the only Browns receiver in franchise history to accomplish the feat. The 1,250 yards receiving was a career high for Cooper, who's coming off his fifth Pro Bowl season. So it's not a situation here, Dustin, where, you know, Cooper's production has trailed off and the Browns are apprehensive in that regard. But the fact of the matter is he did turn 30 this year. We know the Browns don't like committing significant dollars to guys once they hit that, you know, 30-year-old plateau on a long-term basis. So, you know, Cooper will get a bite at the apple again come free agency in March.
So it's interesting, Daryl. We were kind of rounding on this conversation when you joined us, where it seems like people are in two camps. Either they view this as a, let's just bridge the gap till this next year when so basically a wait-and-see situation with Amari and the Browns, or that the writing is on the wall that this is Amari's last season with the team. Which do you think is closer to reality right now? Is this a wait-and-see thing with the Browns and Amari, or is this a, hey, let's end on good terms and let's get you to February, let's get you to free agency?
Yeah, I think that if there was a multi-year solution here, Nick, it would have been done. That's just my perception of where things are at. That it, you know, because this would have been the perfect opportunity to tack 1 to 3 years on to the current deal. So.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think that Cooper will go to free agency in March.
Daryl Ryder with us right now, talking about the big news of the day. Amari Cooper restructuring the final year of his deal with the Browns, fully guaranteeing the $20 million he was owed, half of that, according to reports, offered up as a signing bonus, and then Amari getting an additional $5 million on top of this. So when it comes to his future, when it comes to Amari's future here, what do you think actually impacts this decision? Is it Amari's production this year in a new offense, or is it Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman's production, or is it maybe Deshaun's production and play?
Well, I mean, look, they traded for Jerry Jeudy this offseason and extended him, right? They traded for Elijah Moore last year. He's on a very manageable contract right now. They have spent draft assets, you know, Cedric Tillman's going in to year two. David Bell is going into year three. You know, Michael Woods is coming back. You've got, this year they drafted Jamari Thrash as well. You know, what type of a look does he get? So there's been significant assets invested in that wide receiver room, both in terms of cash as well as through trade and the draft. Now, granted, the draft selections have not been high picks. They've been middle round picks, but the Browns really seem to be excited about Cedric Tillman coming into this training camp. I think that obviously there's some questions around David Bell and what he's going to be able to potentially give them. Same thing with Michael Woods. So there are some questions there too. Elijah Moore, you know, they tried doing a lot of things with him last year that just quite frankly didn't work out. A lot of gimmick stuff. And I think that stuff has been wiped out of the playbook. Now they're just going to have him run routes and try and get open down the field, which is one of his strengths when you look at his film. So I think that there is a wait and see component to this, Nick, but I also kind of think too that Andrew Berry's trying to give himself some flexibility going into next offseason.
Darrell, what do you think this offense is going to look like with Ken Dorsey? Like, how much different do we anticipate the offense this season, around Deshaun Watson?
I think that fans are going to be able to notice some different concepts, Dustin. They're going to allow Deshaun to be Deshaun. I think a lot of the timing throws that we saw the last couple of years under Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski, I think that stuff is going to get minimized. They're incorporating the choice route concepts for these receivers now, where it's incumbent upon them to read the corners and safeties to determine do they break inside, outside, and whatever. And it's also going to be incumbent upon Deshaun Watson to be reading the same things that the receivers are, so that he's putting the football where it needs to be, and they're able to capitalize on defensive miscues, right? They're going to try and exploit secondaries. But I think that this offense, fans are going to notice some different things about it. But, I'm interested in what the tempo is going to look like. Are they going to do a little more hurry up stuff? Are they going to, I think we're going to see more shotgun stuff this year, less Deshaun under center. But it should be a lot of fun to watch if they execute.
Browns beat reporter Darrell Ryder with us here. Nick and Dustin on Afternoon Drive talking the big news of the moment. And the big news before the Amari Cooper news was Browns training camp, but now it's a restructured final year of Amari Cooper's contract. And I'm glad that Dusty brought up the offense with you, Darrell, because I do not espouse this opinion, but I have now heard it. It came up in our pre-show meeting that the Browns going to this new offense is in itself a sign of the Browns' desperation as it comes to Deshaun Watson. Do you think that this new offense, the Dorsey hire, everything, is this a sign of desperation from the Browns?
No, I wouldn't say desperation. I would say evolution. I to me, that's the word I would use. Yes, is there a sense of urgency, right, to get something out of this guy and get him back to being the player he was in Houston a couple of years ago? Absolutely. And unfortunately, he's not been available a whole lot since they made that blockbuster trade. But I think that the changes that Kevin Stefanski has made with his coaching staff and with Ken Dorsey coming in and playing around with this playbook a little bit and putting these new concepts in place, I think that's more about evolution and trying to put Deshaun Watson, or I should say make sure that they are putting Deshaun Watson in a very comfortable situation and one that he can succeed in.
So with all this, the biggest story coming in today was clearly, the biggest non-Deshaun storyline coming into camp today was Amari Cooper. Will he show up? If not, what do the Browns do? Will there be an extension? All that. Now right. that has been put to bed, what becomes the biggest non-Deshaun storyline heading into camp?
Ooh, well, we're gonna get the initial roster designations at some point this afternoon. I anticipate that Nick Chubb's going to be on PUP. I'm just going to caution fans that saw the workout videos that he's going to be ready week one. I'm not aligned with that train of thought. I'll be honest with you, because so many roster spots are really spoken for, I really think the special teams, the new kickoff scenarios, I think that's going to be certainly a big story. I think the other thing, too, is, and you guys were talking about this before I popped on with you, is some other contract situations that might pop up. Andrew Berry last year during training camp restructured some contracts to open up some more cap space and take care of guys and whatnot. I'm curious to see, you know, who's on the list this time around for Barry to restructure and take care of, because I certainly think next year, next offseason, Myles Garrett, returns to the forefront there as far as him getting a raise, because he's obviously got Defensive Player of the Year under his belt, and his $25 million a year salary now looks like it's a bargain.
Daryl, Lima asked a question, I believe, in the morning show, and also put it on a poll. He said, what's closer to reality, essentially? Mobley, his performance against the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, or Deshaun Watson's second half against Baltimore? Thoughts?
Oh, boy. Well, Watson played hurt, and a lot of those throws, they weren't vertical, so I don't know that that was indicative of peak Deshaun. So I'm gonna say Mobley against the Celtics just because he was so good.
Daryl, I don't really know how to broach this with you. I know you're in serious, you're in dogged reporter mode here, but something came up at 2:40 today that it turns out.
I thought you were gonna say I was in pack my suitcase for West Virginia mode.
Well, you seem like somebody who really takes that seriously. Am I wrong on that?
I make sure I have enough sets of clothes, that's for sure. So if you consider that taking that seriously, then...
That's exactly what I consider that, 100%.
There would be nothing worse than to get to West Virginia and realize I don't have enough clothes to wear for the 9 days I'm going to be there.
I would just eyeball the hell out of it. I think I have enough underwear. I think I got enough socks. We'll be okay.
Wait a minute. Didn't Daryl just wear that shirt 2 days ago?
Oh, no, these guys know. I'll wear my favorite Coca-Cola shirt 2 times a week and not even think twice about it. But you should know that, too, because you've been one of our top fill-ins here on Afternoon Drive. But I'm curious. When you get a new pair of shoes, do you sniff those shoes? Are you a shoe sniffer?
I am not a shoe sniffer.
Okay, because Dustin and Keith and act Jax. As if... so now we're tied at even, by the way. Because Katie and I both thought...
And 60% of people that took the poll, by the way.
How many votes?
I don't know, like 200 plus right now?
Those are rookie numbers. Got to pump those up. Going to need a little bit more from you on that one. But yes, turns out, Daryl, and you might not be surprised by this, I am surrounded, except for
sniffers.
Katie, by absolute shoe sniffers.
You're right. That is the least surprising news of the day.
I think Keith being the shoe sniffer is the
wildest
one.
Least surprising than Amari Cooper getting his contract redone and being on time for camp. Least surprising news ever that Dustin, Keith, and Jax sniff new shoes.
Well, you think that's disgusting. Wait till later in the show when Nick reveals what he'd do.
I did not say
that. For $7.
I did not say anything about it being disgusting. Don't be putting words in my mouth there, Mr. Assassin. I'm just saying that it doesn't surprise me you guys enjoy the scent of new shoes.
We will never put words in your mouth. I promise that. Daryl, great stuff. And you are so lucky. I've not had a tweet about our burger bet in sort of the longest damn time. I'm still getting those burgers. Just you wait.
They're in a slump.
The burgers or the Guardians?
The Guardians.
Be well, buddy. We got to run.
All right, guys. Take care.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Again, he will be live in the Greenbrier for the entirety of the time the Browns are there, heading down yonder to, by God, West Virginia. And check out the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland crew of Daryl and Andy as well. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, talking and reacting, of course, to the Amari Cooper contract extension. That is the news that broke right as we were about to go on air at just about an hour ago at 3 o'clock today. A little bit more NFL news to pass along as teams start to report to training camp. Sean McVay has said that Matt Stafford is reported to camp. The team is adjusting his contract. Adam Schefter quote tweeting that, saying he's due $31 million this year on a 4-year, $160 million deal he signed after the Rams Super Bowl win, and only $15 million of it was guaranteed. And so as he enters his age 36 season, he was seeking more security. So good vibes to the Stafford family as Matt finally gets that financial security.
He was looking for it.
I mean, he's
so bad for the guy.
He's only made like $300-400 million in his career.
Oh, that's all?
And
you know what? That's another guy.
That's not a livable wage now. You know what I mean?
That guy's got some Verlander vibes to him too.
Oh.
You know, I think, okay, I'd rather be Stafford.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Matt Stafford's wife admitted to sleeping with his backup
so I think
just to make him jealous.
I don't want to be him anymore.
Yeah, I was just saying.
Well, I want his money. I want his money.
And by the way,
I want Verlander's wife.
Kelly Stafford is a beautiful woman.
If I had to be in that situation.
So we're just picking and choosing. I want Stafford's money and Verlander's wife.
I mean, why can't a man dream?
I'm just saying. I would take either. All right, I would take, oh no, I gotta be married to Kelly Stafford. Oh, she's gorgeous. But yeah, the whole.
Yeah, but I don't know that I need her putting my business on the streets.
I don't know. I need her balling the backup quarterback just to make me jealous in college.
Is that what we call it now? Balling?
That's what we did back in the mid 80s.
Balling out, huh?
Sure. Yes, sir.
All right.
But getting back to what Daryl had to say. I do think it puts the Browns in an interesting situation here. Like in a year's time, if this is just to get you through the next 6 months and Amari signs elsewhere, is how much of an impact does that have on your take on where the Browns are going?
Kind of a big deal, I think. You know, in terms of what I will think about the Browns moving forward, like after this season.
So it's interesting. If Deshaun goes out there and is healthy and plays really well, and all of a sudden you're getting production out of Jerry Jeudy and the other receivers, I think I'm just going to realize, like, yeah, don't overpay a 30-year-old wide receiver. Yeah, that makes sense. Because somebody will. One of the few things we can guarantee in the NFL. Somebody will pay a wide... Odell Beckham Jr. has not been truly relevant since 2017. Odell Beckham Jr., every year, somebody's willing to throw 5, 7. Last year was $20 million guaranteed his direction. So I think Amari's going to get paid regardless. But like I look at Amari as an absolute necessity this year because I don't know if Deshaun is going to be healthy, if he's going to stay healthy. The second that Deshaun stays healthy... I probably am closer to where teams like Buffalo and Kansas City are that I'm going to be a little bit more chintzy with who I pay specifically at the wide receiver spot if you're 30 years old. Mm-hmm. Like I knew I knew Amari was, you cannot go into the season without Amari. I don't know. I feel that way about 2025 and beyond.
Just because his age?
Some of that, yeah. And some of that is like, he's not Jamar Chase. He's a really good wide receiver. He is statistically a pretty prolific wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But losing Amari shouldn't have the same impact that trading Tyreek Hill or trading Jamar Chase or trading Justin Jefferson or trading an elite level, no BS, that guy's clearly a number one wide receiver, should have. But trading Julio Jones in his prime or A.J. Green in their prime. I think once you get past it, I view like wide receivers not too dissimilar to how people view, how I think people should view running backs. If you're elite, I'll pay you. I don't care if you're 34. I don't care if you're 27. I don't care what. I don't care, you know, we always make special circumstances for guys who are that talented. Tyreek Hill's, you know, iffy history is another one of those. But if you're that cut under elite, I think that's where I don't want to say you're expendable, but you're a would like to have, you're not I need to have.
Mm.
I can make that cut. As long as Jerry Jeudy and the other young receivers are giving you production this year, which is a pretty big if, as long as you're pretty confident that you can backfill a good deal of that Amari production with the young guys, and a lot of that's predicated on Deshaun playing really well. Yeah, you can pay everyone, but you shouldn't.
I think everyone sort of understands that. And if you want to be able to, you know, have a good team consistently, you can't just throw money at I mean, you got to be smart, but I also think that you have to be smart in terms of your team chemistry and just, you can't just look at a number of a player, an age of a mm-hmm. player and just say, okay, this guy's definitely going to decline.
Well, I don't think it's about I think like with everything else, I think the old adage I can't remember which head coach coined this, because it was somebody in like the 60s that coined it. But it's so cliche now. I still would rather get rid of a guy 1 year early than 1 year too late.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in this salary cap situation. Because if you overpay Amari Gordon of the future and you're wrong, there are more consequences than if you had a rookie quarterback and a rookie deal.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.